الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very wonderfully, beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam, 1,000 times upon me daily, will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayka ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ala Muhammad nurin min nurillah. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another wonderful, beautiful, exciting episode and silsila on your Madani channel English. Very beautifully you are watching Madani channel, alhamdulillah. And yes, it is the wonderful days of Eid, Eid al-Adha, the Eid of sacrifice, the Eid of Qurbani, the Eid which marks a very important and historical event in the history of Islam, an Eid which gives us hundreds and hundreds of beautiful lessons, which we can adapt and take from this beautiful festival of Eid al-Adha. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to take the full blessings of this wonderful day of Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the special bounties and the special mercy, His divine mercy, on these beautiful days of Eid al-Adha. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. At the same time, alhamdulillah, it is also the Mubarak days of Hajj, the days of, in which the Hujjaj are performing one of the greatest rites in Islam, that is performing the Hajj. Allah, 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 Allah. Many of these fortunate personalities have already left, to their Mubarak and respected places. They are already done with the wukuf of the Arafat. And I'm sure many of them now, in Mina, and majority of the Hajj is already completed. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj in His exalted court. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through their sadaqah and through their sake, may Allah ta'ala enable all of us, inshallah, azawajal, to go for Hajj every year, inshallah, with our parents, with our Murshid Kareem, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. And besides that, may we go frequently to the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara and Makkatul Mukarrama. Zadahallahu sharafa wa ta'zima. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen, subhanallah. And at the same time, I would also request and advise one and all that whenever these Mubarak days come to all of you, every year these days do arrive. Yes, maybe some days, we will not be there to witness those days, but whenever you do witness these auspicious days, from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the days of Hajj, the days of Rajab, the days of Sha'aban, Shab-e-Barat, Laylatul Qadr, these big nights, these big days, they hold a big importance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't waste these days. Unfortunately, we find many individuals, spending these days and the hours and minutes in futile activities. We should try our level best as Muslimin, that these days are basically a gift from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try our level best to make sure that we're spending those days in the ita'at and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen, subhanallah. Coming towards our discussion, you are watching a very beautiful silsila known as the Lessons of Eid, subhanallah. And inshallah azza wa jal, what we will be discussing today, I will come to that later on. But first of all, I have with me today two very auspicious and I would say beloved personalities, subhanallah, close to me, close to my heart. And I'm sure many of you must have seen them also on Madani channel, subhanallah. Coming first of all towards my left side, the place close to my heart, mashallah, we have our beloved and respected Mulana Asim Madani sahab. Mulana sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah, how is your health, Mulana sahab?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, shukr to Almighty Allah.
MashaAllah. So Mulana sahab is inshallah our first honored guest for today's silsila. And close to my right hand side, subhanallah, a Mubarak place, we have our beloved Amiruddin bhai. মাশাআল্লাহ গাইস সাহেব আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু
ওয়া আলাইকুম সালাম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু
মাশাআল্লাহ হাউ আর ইউ হাউ ইজ ইউর হেলথ
আলহামদুলিল্লাহ জি
আলহামদুলিল্লাহ
আল্লাহ
Alhamdulillah, subhanallah. So inshallah azawajal, today we have these two personalities, wonderful personalities with us, and inshallah azawajal, they will be guiding us through our silsila today. Our topic of discussion is very, very, very important. In fact, I feel or I have witnessed that unfortunately this is such a topic which was supposed to be discussed in abundance, but many people do not focus on this topic a lot. Yes, in the days of Hajj, we learn about the method of Hajj, we speak about maybe Qurbani, we speak about, you know, different other things, but this topic is neglected, I feel personally. The topic today is, inshallah azza wa jal, the Mubarak Khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wada, means in the final Hajj with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Mubarak speech, that beautiful khutbah which was delivered by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and hundreds of lessons we can derive from that beautiful speech of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every, you know, sentence, every word, every kalima which left the beautiful mouth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed an ocean of knowledge. And by Allah, we have seen ulama-i kiram, mufassireen, muhaddiseen, you know, writing books and books and books just on a few words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is jawami'ul kalim, you know, it means his kalam is so, I would say it's short, but it's concise, it's to the T, everything is discussed beautifully. And Ala Hazrat Sayyidi Murshidi Imam Ahl Sunnat, very beautifully he says, Mini saar tere kalam par, mini yu to kisko zuba nahi, wo sukhan hai jisme sukhan na ho, wo bayan hai jiska bayan nahi. Subhanallah, this is the beautiful kalam of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Undoubtedly, the kalam of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed the wahi coming from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So definitely it's an ocean, even bigger than an ocean, subhanallah. So inshallah azawajal, from this beautiful khutbah, inshallah azawajal, some beautiful topics, beautiful points we will discuss. And believe me, you, this topic is so vast that we can not only one episode, we can do entire series just based on this one khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But inshallah, we'll try and cover as much as possible in this beautiful episode and beautiful silsila. So my request to you is, first and foremost, let's make good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, niyatul mu'mini khayru min amalihi, the intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can make good intentions that inshallah azza wa jal, you know, when I learn the beautiful khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever is discussed, inshallah I will try and act upon all of those beautiful topics. And I would say that every person must act upon all these beautiful words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is our role model, his words are a role model for us, and his words should be in front of us for the rest of our lives, inshallah azza wa jal. The more intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. To begin today's discussion, inshallah, we will first and foremost begin with the tilawat and the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Hamim. Ayn sin qaf. Kathalika yuhi ilayka wa ila alladhina min qablika Allahu al-Azizu al-Hakim. Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard, وهو العلي العظيم. تكاد السماوات يتفطرن من فوقهن والملائكة يسبحون بحمد ربهم ويستغفرون لمن في الأرض، ألا إن الله هو الغفور الرحيم. والذين اتخذوا من دونه أولياء الله حفيظ عليهم وما أنت عليهم بوكيل وكذلك أوحينا إليك قرآنا عربيا لتنذر أم القرى ومن حولها وتنذر يوم الجمع لا ريب فيه فريق في الجنة وفريق في السعير ولو شاء الله لجعلهم أمة واحدة ولكن يدخل من يشاء في رحمته والظالمون ما لهم من ولي ولا نصير أم اتخذوا من دونه أولياء فالله هو الولي وهو يحيي الموتى وهو على كل شيء قدير صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله very very beautiful recitation of the Holy Quran. I would request one and all that whenever everyone has a chance, they should try and read the beautiful Quran with the authentic translation as well as with the tafaseer of Sunni ulama, of ulama Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So you can understand, you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to you in the Holy Quran, subhanallah. Now, inshallah, azawajal, I would like to request our beloved Mulana Asim Madani Sahib, inshallah, to recite a few couplets, a few stanzas, a few, couplets, inshallah, azawajal. Mulana Sahib, jazakallah.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah Madine طرف پھر کب روانہ قافلہ ہوگا مدینے کی طرف پھر کب روانہ قافلہ ہوگا مجھے اذن مدینہ کب میرے آقا عطا ہوگا مجھے اذن مدینہ کب میرے آقا عطا ہوگا نہیں جاتی گناہوں کی شہادت نہیں جاتی نہیں جاتی گناہوں کی شہادت عادت نہیں جاتی کرم مولا پسے Go. یقیناً روز محشر صرف اسی سے خوش خدا ہوگا، یقیناً روز محشر صرف اسی سے خوش خدا ہوگا، یہاں دنیا میں جس نے مصطفیٰ کو خوش کیا ہوگا، یہاں دنیا میں جس نے کیا ہوگا، فقط نیکوں پہ ہوگا کر کرم، اے سرور عالم فقط نیکوں پہ ہوگا کر کرم، اے سرور عالم کہاں جائے گا وہ بندہ جو بد ہوگا برا ہوگا، کہاں جائے گا وہ نبی کے عاشقوں کو موت تو انمول تحفہ ہے، نبی کے عاشقوں کو موت تو انمول تحفہ ہے کہ ان کو قبر میں دیدار شاہ انبیاء ہوگا، کہ ان کو قبر میں دیدار شاہ انبیاء ہوگا، نبی کے عاشقوں کی عید ہو گی عید محشر میں، نبی کے عاشقوں کی عید ہو گی عید محشر میں، ہوگا کوئی سینے سے لگا ہوگا، کوئی قدموں میں ہوگا کوئی سینے سے لگا ہوگا، تسلی رکھ گھبرا حشر سے عطار، تسلی رکھ تسلی رکھ نہ گھبرا حشر سے عطار، تیرے
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. A very wonderful and beautiful kalam recited by our Mulan sahab. Subhanallah, and a very beautiful kalam of Sayyidi Amir al-Sunnat, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal, Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi, Damod Barakat Mul'aliyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, grant him a healthy, happy, long life, so he may continue blessing us with his beautiful words of wisdom, and may we continue plucking the fruits of benefits from his personality. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen, subhanallah. Inshallah Azawajal, now we will take a short break, listen to a few beautiful Madani pearls, inshallah Azawajal. And as soon as we return, we will then move straight towards our topic of discussion, which is the Mubarak Khutbah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Hajjatul Wada. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam.
Whenever we're blessed with the opportunity to perform Qurbani on the days of Eid, Eid al-Adha, then we should perform it wholeheartedly, with good intentions, with happiness, with joy. We're parting with wealth that Allah has given us. We're spending it in His way. Allah Ta'ala will bless us. It's our own benefit when we perform Qurbani. And if we do it with good intentions, if we do it wholeheartedly, if we do it happily, inshallah the reward is immense. Listen to this hadith, which is found in Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who wholeheartedly performs ritual animal sacrifice for the sake of reward, his ritual animal sacrifice, meaning his qurbani, will serve as a barrier between him and hellfire." Allahu Akbar. What more can we ask for? We get an opportunity to perform qurbani every year, especially those who meet the requirements and must give it. They have to give it. Every year they perform Qurban. And this is the reward. That sacrificial animal will be a barrier between you and the fire of hell. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to make very good intentions prior to Qurban.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, marhaba. Welcome back to our silsila. The beautiful days of Eid are here. And this beautiful episode in Silsila is with you on Madani channel. Alhamdulillah, you are watching. And very beautifully, as I mentioned earlier, we have these two respected personalities with us. Mulana Asim Madani Sahab and our beloved Amiruddin Bhai, mashallah. Just a brief introduction. Mulana Asim Madani Sahab is, mashallah, a ustad and a teacher at the Jamiatul Madina, which is, I would say, the Islamic University, alhamdulillah. And he is also a teacher of Dars-e-Nizami, the Alim course, my ustad as well, mashallah. And our beloved Amiruddin Bhai is, you know, I would say, the head in South Africa with regards to Tawizat-e-Attariya. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami is one department is Tawizat-e-Attariya, which, you know, is regarding to the Tawiz and Nazr-e-Bad and Istikhara and those kinds of things. So Alhamdulillah, as on Madaneen channel, there was also a silsila known as Istikhara or Ruhani Ilaj. So Alhamdulillah, with regards to Ruhani Ilaj, Tawizat-e-Attariya, mashallah, our beloved Amiruddin Bhai is the head. Alhamdulillah, so with both beautiful personalities are with me, and inshallah, Azawajal, now we will move towards our discussion. And I would like to start with our beloved Mulana Sahib, inshallah. Mulana Sahib, alhamdulillah, there's so much to discuss in our silsila, in our episode. And I mentioned to our viewers and listeners that we will be discussing, inshallah, the khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wada. We do know it's very detailed. There's a lots of explanation. But inshallah, Azawajal, if you can maybe start the discussion, inshallah, and then I would like to go towards our Amiruddin Bhai, inshallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أو بلور نبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was sent by Almighty Allah as a messenger and a prophet. نبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has been sent to humanity to guide them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam took various measures to guide people, to guide his followers. And amongst the khutbahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the sermons of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khutbah-e hajjatul wada is the greatest khutbah. So one of the most important khutbahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is khutbah-e hajjatul wada. This khutbah is considered a significant historical document, a charter of human rights, a great manifesto of world peace, a supreme guide for human welfare, and a true Islamic constitution. The farewell sermon has been narrated by different various Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in and is recorded in the books of Ahadith. Many authors compiled this entire khutbah in a separate books. Khutbah Hajjatul Wada is the khutbah which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam delivered during performing Hajj. And this was the only Hajj which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed after migrating from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam already told his Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain many times before that this might be the last year of my apparent life. As when he sent Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Yemen as a governor, so he told him that you might not see me after this year, and when you come back, you may see my mosque and my grave. So Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu started weeping after hearing this out of love and due to thinking that there will be a separation between me and my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after this year. So this khutbah which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered on Hajjatul Wada is known as khutbah Hajjatul Wada because it was the last khutbah, or you can say that it was the last Hajj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or one and only Hajj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered this khutbah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised many things in this khutbah to his Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. We can't discuss each and everything in a very short period of time, but we will try to discuss few things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his khutbah Mubarak, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain that ayyu shahrin haza. O my companions, tell me which month is this? The companions knew that this month is the month of Zulhijjah, but look at the etiquette and the manners of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, that they never answered yes, we know that this is the month of Zulhijjah. because they thought that maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has intended to change the name of this month. So they said that wallahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and his rasul knows best. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked them that is it not the month of Zulhijjah? So they said yes ya rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked his companions, oh my companions, tell me which city is this? Again they said wallahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and his rasul knows best. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said is it not the city Makkatul Mukarrama? They said yes ya rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked them which day is this? So sahaba ikram ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain said wallahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and his rasul knows best. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked them, is it not the day of sacrifice? Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain answered, yes ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the day of sacrifice. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said after that, indeed, just as this day, city and month are sacred, your lives, wealth, and honor are also haram upon one another. Meaning the way these three things are very important and valuable, likewise, the wealth of the believer, the life of the believer, and the honor of the believer is valuable and important. Meaning the way you, when you enter in the boundaries of haram, so you become extra careful. You try to protect yourself from committing sins. You try to worship Almighty Allah more because that place is very important to you, that place is very sacred to you, that place is, you know, very valuable to you. So the way these three things are very valuable to you, likewise, when it comes to the wealth of the believer, when it comes to the honor of the believer, when it comes to the life of the believer, you must remain in the boundaries of Sharia. I would like to mention little bit about these three things. I mean the hurmat of these things as well as the hurmat of the life of the Muslim. Quran says that وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever kills a Muslim purposely, his restitution is therefore hell, that he will abide in it for a very long time. And Allah has inflicted wrath upon him and has cursed him and kept prepared for him a great punishment. Quran has declared that whoever kills a Muslim purposely, intentionally, so Almighty Allah has prepared a punishment for him. He will have to stay in the hellfire for a very long time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith paak, if the entire world were together to kill a single Muslim, Allah would throw the entire world into hell.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
How important is the life of the Muslim? Nowadays, you know, people don't care of this. They don't care of the rights of the Muslim. They don't care, you know, the honor of the Muslim. They don't give any importance to the life of the believer, life of the Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly said that if the entire world get together to kill a Muslim, so Almighty Allah will throw the entire world in the hell.
Allah, 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 Allah.
So likewise in one hadith paak, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the shedding of the Muslim's blood is more significant to Allah than the destruction of the entire world.
Mirudin bhai, mashallah, Munasab mentioned with regards to killing a Muslim, fellow Muslim brothers, sisters, and whatever the case is, and I'm sure you also meet many of the people in your surrounding, in your vicinity, in your area, and I'm sure you must have met some people, you know, whose maybe backgrounds, you know, come from backgrounds like this of killing, of murdering, of this, of that, and that. And you have seen the world, alhamdulillah, you travel around the globe. What would be your personal experience or advice, you know, for this with regards to killing? Let's keep it general. If someone kills a Muslim or he kills anyone, all right, what would be your advice for that person?
See, unfortunately, if you look at what's happening around the world, people view killing in different senses as well. And unfortunately, this is something that we have to accept. when Muslims are being butchered and killed, the world leaders don't pay attention. As mentioned, the life of every individual is very, very important. So unfortunately, this is what we see. Now, there's something I would like to discuss regarding this, but the last sermon. See, therefore, we're saying, as you know, life, taking life is very, very serious, especially in Islam, not even one life. So we have to respect. That means killing is a major sin. And you find, unfortunately, that this has become so common in our time that people don't take it seriously, people take it lightly. Even if you commit serious crime, if you're a person of influence, you get away.
Right.
You can get away in this dunya, but you'll never get away from the punishment that Allah has bestowed upon you.
Allah, subhanallah.
In fact, before the advent of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, arrival of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these things were very, very common.
Very common, indeed.
Amongst non-Muslims, amongst Arabs. Actually, they used to be proud of these things. You know, killing one another, they used to be proud of this thing. They used to, you know, kill their daughters. They used to bury them alive. And they used to, you know, after killing their daughters, they used to feel proud, you know. Likewise, you know, when if anyone from any tribe used to kill anyone from the other tribe, so for taking revenge, what they used to do? They did not used to satisfy by just taking one life of the other tribe. They did not used to satisfy by taking blood money. Rather, they used to kill 10
tribe.
To 20 people of the other tribe. And this fight used to continue for centuries. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, is a role model for us. Quran says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is role model for us. So the khutbah which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered on the occasions of Hajjatul Wada, in that khutbah, specifically Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped this action as well, this action of killing.
Subhanallah, mashallah. Beautiful words from our beloved Munasab. And I believe there's still a bit more which Munasab wants to discuss, inshallah. I will come back to him later on, inshallah. I would now like to go towards our beloved Amiruddin Bhai, mashallah. Very beautifully, you spoke to us with regards to the killing. And in fact, every life matters. And it is our responsibility as Muslimin, we need to protect each other's honor. And you also mentioned, you know, maybe somebody can kill someone in this world and he'll get away with it, but there is no saving yourself from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, coming towards our khutbah of Hajjatul Wada, as Munasab mentioned, it's so detailed, there's so much explanation. What beautiful aspects would you like to share with us, inshallah?
Okay, I would like to discuss spiritual development and self-growth, as mentioned here. I'll just quote the khutbah itself in English translation. Remember, one day you will appear before Allah Azza wa Jal and answer for your deeds. So beware, do not go astray from the path of righteousness when I am gone. Now this is very, very important. The goal here is for us to become Allah conscious. That means every action we do should be for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. And the most important thing here, we talk about intention. The intention should be to please Almighty Allah. So this sermon also gives us an indication that we must reflect on our own action, because we are going to be called to account in front of Almighty Allah. If whatever we do is other than pleasing Almighty Allah, it's lost.
Allah.
Imagine. So what we should do is reflect. And there's also a very beautiful story about one person who became conscious of this. And he was very wealthy and he wanted to spend his money in the path of Allah. He said, okay, what my right hand gives, my left hand must not know. So it's mentioned he went in the night, in the dark of the night, and he took money and he heard someone walking. So he gave the money to that person, thinking that it's a poor, deserving person, and he went happy to bed. Next morning he heard people laughing in the marketplace. They say a person came and there was a thief going to steal and he gave him money. So he got so disappointed. He said, Ya Allah, I wanted to please you, but see what happened. Then next day he said, okay, I'll take more money. So he took more money and he went again. This time he heard someone walking and he said, there's something for you. And because he didn't want them to recognize him as well, so he wanted to do it secretly. Again, next morning the people were laughing. They said there was a prostitute walking to her business and somebody gave her a lot of money. And again, he felt disappointed. Then he said, okay, the last bit of money he had to give, he said, okay, now I'll do this and inshallah, I'll get it right. Then he heard another person walking. And he heard him and said, please take this for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. And then he went away. Again, next morning, people started laughing. He said, the one fool, he gave money to a very rich man. And so this person was so disappointed. He said, I was trying to please Almighty Allah. And look what happened. Then he got this message in the dream. He said, your action has not been wasted. He said, that person that was going to steal, when he saw you giving money in the path of Allah, he said, look at this man. What bad thing I'm going to do, I want to steal. And he's giving the path of Allah. He made tawbah and he changed his life. Mm-hmm. And he said, that woman that was a prostitute, she also got fear of Allah, saying, such person, I don't even know who gave me so much money. I never got so much money in my life. Ya Allah, I'm making tawbah. She made tawbah. And even the rich man, he said, I never spent in the path of Allah. Look at this man. He gave me so much money. He also became Allah conscious. So it means your intention should be to please Allah. So this is one thing. And the other thing in the khutbah was, and this I would like to quote. So Beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, O people, listen to me in earnest. Pray your 5 daily prayers. Fast during the month of Ramadan. Give your wealth in zakah. Now if you look at this, many champions who follow this sermon regarding human rights, but they don't perform salah. If you look at it, there was a survey done and mentioned in the early stage of Madni channel, a large percentage of people, even in a Muslim country like Pakistan, majority of people don't perform 5 times a day salah. So yet what is included in the sermon, we'll talk about all the other flowery thing.
Right.
But what about the main thing about our own self-development,
Allah,
performing salah, which we neglect? So even you find, even when you come to salah, how it is so important for us to understand, this is commanded by Almighty Allah to perform salah 5 times a day and emphasize in this last sermon. So if viewers of Madni channel, if there are anyone like amongst us who are not performing salah, so what is contained in the sermon is to rectify ourselves. So how can we rectify ourselves if we don't obey Almighty Allah and don't perform our 5 daily salah?
Subhanallah.
So this is very important. Because what the scholars say, that you see, there are many people that I've come across, you mentioned to me, when they come, I mentioned this, many of them come, they got problem of jinn, jadu, whatever, right? So the first thing you ask them, you don't ask them if you perform salah, because we're not supposed to ask them to disclose this is a major sin. So I advise them, I say, listen, I'm giving you this treatment. The help comes from none but Almighty Allah. So if you want the help of Allah, you have to be obedient to Almighty Allah. So you have to perform your 5 daily salah. You have to get up at Fajr. Many people tell you, yeah, you know, we read once in a while. One person, I told him, you must perform. He says, no, you know, but I read once in a while. I said, Almighty Allah said 5 times a day salah. And there's some people say, okay, we can. We read all the namaz, but we can't get up for Fajr. So this is it. You're saying now, what the sermon tells us? That is our own rectification. So we have to make sure that we are conscious about our duties to Allah, especially performing ours. And also, how do you perform salah? That's very important. So many people just perform salah. You have to perform with khushu and khudu. Because we are told the closest we come to Almighty Allah is in salah. And the closest when you make sujood. And imagine if you're making salah and not even conscious that Allah Azza wa Jalla is observing your every action.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
He knows exactly how happy you are, how satisfied you are to come and pray the salah in the house of Allah. And the other thing that Allah advise is, again, coming to this performing salah, fasting, etc. The best place in the world is the masjid, the house of Almighty Allah. Imagine in your area, the best place is the masjid. And if you go to the best place, how pleased Allah is with you. Because if you just step into the masjid, I'll give my own experience. If you go to Durban, the main Juma masjid, it's in a very busy industrial area. A lot of people are talking. When you go outside, you see people are talking about selling the goods and shouting and screaming. But as you enter the masjid, you find you are being enveloped by peace and calmness. That is the difference as you enter the masjid. So we imagine in our area, we got the masjids, we only populated on the day of Friday. So imagine, and I'll end with this by my discussion, that one Muslim was sitting with a Jew, an intellectual Jew, and he asked him this question, which I want to share with all of you. He asked this Muslim, how many people come for your Jummah Salah? And this Jew was someone who studied Islam. He said, sometimes we have no place in the masjid. He said, okay. Then he said, what about your Fajr Salah, your morning prayer? He said, no, we get very few people. You know what he said? He said, the day your Fajr Salah is like your Jummah Salah. No power in the world can destroy you, because Almighty Allah will be with you. So what he tells you, this part of the sermon is to establish a 5 daily salah. We talk about the sermon, but we don't use it for ourselves, to improve ourselves and develop ourselves spiritually. But you find many people giving, the orators, talking about the sermon, everything, talking about human rights and becoming champions of human rights, but they themselves neglect essential part of the sermon is to develop your own self spiritually.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
This khutbah was the summary of the preach of 23 years approximately of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he announced his prophethood. And in the summary of this khutbah, I mean in the summary of the preach of 23 years, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that perform salah.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Perform salah. So we can, you know, imagine that how important salah is, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam included this in his that khutbah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Beautiful, beautiful words from our beloved Amiruddin Bhai, and a very interesting point as well. Unfortunately, many of us, in fact, I have seen people, you know, framing the entire khutbah and keeping it in their house, and you know, importance is given, every word is Mubarak, but more importance is given just to those beautiful words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which there is no superiority of this person over that person, that yes, that must be spoken about, but why are we neglecting and leaving all the other words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? As Mulana Sahib mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, don't kill each other. Amiruddin Bhai mentioned Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave emphasis on performing salah, zakat, hajj. All of these things are also included in that sermon. So if the importance is given to not giving superiority to anyone else over someone else, then the same importance needs to be given to the to all the other aspects and parts of this sermon as well. And in Hadith Jibreel, a very beautiful hadith where Sayyidina Jibreel Islam came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked for some beautiful, I would say, teachings with regards to Islam. And in that, one of the questions which Jibreel Islam asked was, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Akhbirni anil ihsan, that tell me what is ihsan. And in reply to that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ihsan is an ta'bud allaha ka annaka tarahu fa illam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak, that you must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing him. And this is such a vast, I would say these words, as if you have to explain them, there's so much to explain, that when if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your ruku, your sajda, your qiyam, your qiraat, everything will be perfect. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكْ. Yes, there can be maybe a rank where you can't reach that level, where you are performing in such a way as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Nabi said, be rest assured, definitely he is seeing you. He knows what you are doing. So this is with regards to ibadat. But let's take it everywhere. Every aspect in your life, whether you're buying, you're selling, you're going somewhere, you're eating, you're drinking, you're traveling, you're performing salah, every moment, if you have this thought in your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, then by Allah, you will become self-conscious, as Amiruddin Bhai mentioned, and that's when you will start becoming a true Muslim and a true believer. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, beautiful discussions are taking place, beautiful words we are listening to, and inshallah, we will take a short break, listen to some few beautiful Madani pearls, Madani flowers, inshallah, azza wa jal. And once we return from the break, we will then carry on our wonderful discussion. Be with us, inshallah, azza wa jal, till the end of the silsila. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we are amidst the blessed and holy month of Dhul-Hijjah al-Haram. This is a month which is imparting its blessings. It is one of the sacred months within Islam. And alhamdulillah, within Dhul-Hijjah al-Haram, we are blessed with the honor of acting upon the sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. As well as this, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam also performed this action in the blessed month of Dhul-Hijjah. What is the action? This action is qurbani, ritual animal sacrifice. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, within the prophetic traditions, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has educated us on the virtues and blessings and excellences of sacrificing our animals for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one beautiful narration, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, he who performs the ritual animal sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah, for every hair of the animal, a good deed is written down for him. Subhanallah. As well as this, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said in a beautiful narration, in the context he is speaking to his blessed daughter, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the blessed mother of Hasanain Karimain radiyallahu anhuma. Sayyida Fatima Zahra is being addressed in this beautiful hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Fatima, stay near your sacrificial animal, as your sins will be forgiven before the first droplet of blood falls to the ground. My dear honorable viewers, we have heard the beautiful excellences of giving in the way of Allah, and especially in the form of qurbani. We must remember that qurbani is wajib upon every sane adult, male and female, who meets the nisab, as well as a person who is a muqeem, a resident. So we must be very careful, and we must make sure that we give our qurbani as it is due upon us. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to give this wonderful sacrifice in the way of Allah and earn immense reward. Our great ulama-i kiram have also educated us in regards to the excellence of giving the ritual animal sacrifice, meaning performing qurbani. Allama Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlavi alayhi rahma mentions that the ritual animal sacrifice that is given in the way of Allah, this will be placed on the side of the mizan, on the scale of good deeds of a person. And this will make the good deeds heavy for the one who is given a qurbani. The great Allama Mullah Ali Qari alayhi rahma has also mentioned the excellences of qurbani, giving in the way of Allah, which is the animal sacrifice. And he beautifully mentions that the qurbani, the animal which has been chosen and which has been sacrificed in the way of Allah for qurbani, this animal will be a means of conveyance and ride for a person over the bridge of Sirat. So my dear honorable viewers, we must also show respect to this sacred month by fulfilling this commandment of Allah. As Allah beautifully says in the Holy Quran, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. And O beloved Prophet, offer salah and sacrifice. And here, Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi alayhi rahma mentions that the Hanafi scholars, the Ahnaf, derive from this blessed verse that qurbani is wajib. So we have beautifully understood that qurbani must be performed. So alhamdulillah, in this day and age, Dawat Islami is a beautiful organization that is collecting money for qurbani, and is collecting the qurbanis and the skin that is of the sacrificial animal. The skin is sold and this wealth is used for the work of the deen. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the ability to offer our qurbani in the correct manner and wholeheartedly and willingly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Marhaba. Welcome back to our Silsila. You are watching Madani Channel English. We are discussing the beautiful lessons which we can take and deduce from the beautiful khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wada, which is basically the final Hajj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some beautiful topics and beautiful discussions took place with our two beautiful guests. And that brings me back to Qibla Munasab. Munasab, in the beginning of the discussion, you mentioned where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a Muslim, you know, his life, his wealth, his honor is sacred, like the Haram is sacred, like Makkah is sacred, like the month of Zulhijj is sacred. And you elaborated on the life of a Muslim, and that's when we discussed a bit about killing as well. And Amiruddin also shared some beautiful points with us. Maybe if you can also elaborate on the sacredness of the wealth and the honor of the fellow Muslim in a few words, inshallah.
Sacredness of the wealth, hurmat of the wealth, means that one should not take anyone's property without his permission or against the hukum of Sharia. So when you are not allowed to take anyone's property without his permission, or you can't take his property against the hukum of Sharia, so riba will not be allowed, mm-hmm. bribe will not be allowed, stealing someone's property will not be allowed, snatching someone's maal will not be allowed, because these all these things are against the commandments of Sharia, against the hukum of Almighty Allah, against the rulings of Sharia. So why these things have been made haram? Why stealing is not allowed? Why bribe is not allowed? Why interest is not allowed? Why gambling is not allowed? Because of the hurmat of the maal of the Muslim. Muslim's maal, Muslim's wealth is sacred. The way Kaaba is sacred, the way city Makkatul Mukarrama is sacred, the way Arafah is sacred, the way month of Zulhijjah is sacred. So when you are not allowed to take anyone's property without his permission, so how you will be allowed to steal someone's property? Quran mentioned clearly, Almighty Allah says in Quran, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And do not unfairly consume the wealth of each other, nor take their cases to rulers, in order that you may wrongfully consume a part of other people's wealth knowingly. How clearly Quran says that you must not go to the rulers in order to snatch someone's wealth, someone's property. And nowadays, this is very common. When the opponent or when the next party is poor, when the second party is poor, when the second party does not have enough money, and you are, this party wants to oppress them, they want to capture their land, they want to capture their money, they want to, capture their wealth, any other property, what do they do? They go to the court. They open a wrong case against them. So what's the purpose of opening a wrong case against them? What's the purpose of going to court to open a wrong case against them? The purpose is to take their wealth unlawfully. Sharia did not allow you to take anyone's property without any Sharia reason. So why do you go to the court? People actually don't fear Almighty Allah. They want to increase their money, they want to increase their wealth, they want to increase their property, they want to, become the owner of a big part of the land. So they don't care how it is coming to them. They oppress their neighbors, they oppress, the poor Muslims, they oppress, the poor Muslims in order to snatch all that. And Quran has forbidden that. Likewise, gambling is very common in the society. What happens in gambling? Either you win or you lose. When you win, so the other party, the person whose property you are winning, is not going to become happy. He's a loser. He just tried his risk because he also wanted to own your property. He wanted to get your money. But unfortunately, he is the loser. You are the winner. So whether you are a winner or you are a loser, gambling is not allowed in Islam. And Quran mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu innamal khamru wal maysiru wal ansabu wal azlamu rijsum min amali shaytan fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. O believers, wine and gambling and idols and fortune-telling arrows are impure, the work of the devil. Therefore, keep avoiding them in order that you may attain success. So Almighty Allah mentioned gambling in this Ayat-e-Muqaddisa with wine and idols. Meaning the way drinking alcohol is haram, the way worshipping idol is haram, in the same way gambling is haram. Muslim's maal is sacred, so you can't own it. You cannot take it without his permission. You cannot take it against the hukum of Sharia. So wherever it comes to the honor of the wealth of the Muslim, so it's not only about stealing, it's not only about bribe, it's not only about riba, it's not only about gambling. People, they take someone's belongings without their permission and they don't consider it any big thing. For example, I am owner of this pen. It's my pen, I'm the owner. You cannot take it without my permission. What happens that, when you are, learning in an institute, so one student will take the pen of another student without his permission, and he will think that, it's fine, I can take it. Likewise, your clothes, your shoes, your imama, all these, things belong to you. You are the owner. So no one, meaning if I want to take these things, I can't take. If these things are removed from our society, stealing, bribe, riba, gambling, so whole society will be reformed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us the way of rectifying the society. That don't do these things, because these are against the hurmat of a Muslim, against the hurmat of the maal of the Muslim. Whole world is actually worried about these things. Stealing is happening everywhere, bribe everywhere, riba everywhere, gambling everywhere. And this affects the economy, ma'ishat of the country. معیشت تباہ ہو جاتی ہے نا ان چیزوں سے, برائب ہوگی, یو نو ربا ہوگا, سو یور اکانومی آف یور کنٹری ول بی ڈسٹروئڈ. اف یو وانٹ ٹو سیٹل یور کنٹری, you know, okay, in other words, I will say, if you want to strengthen the economy of your country, you will have to remove all these things from your society, from your country, then you can develop your country, then a society can be developed, then a town can be developed, then a, you know, family can be developed. But wherever these things will be found, they will be loser, and they will, you know, face many, many problems due to these reasons.
Allah, but you see, on the same point, people who are evil, they're making money out of gambling, making money, billions. And all these evil things, they're making money. You think they want to give that up easily? See, but this sermon is for the whole mankind. So if they follow it, the whole world will have peace, as you said. But they don't want peace. They promote all this evil. And unfortunately, the kafir that promote evil, some Muslims are attracted by that, and they do the same thing.
Unfortunately.
So unfortunately, as I said, this sermon is for the whole of mankind. If we adopt whatever beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whole mankind, then there will be genuine peace.
Allahu Akbar. I mean, my munasab mentioned about, you know, taking someone's property, stealing someone's money, and that in the business world, you know, if you tell somebody don't take interest, don't do bribe, don't do this and that, then they'll say, you know, munasab chalta hai, it in order to earn money we have to do it. What would you say to those people? Is their trust not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one who gives you rizq, He is the one who sustains you? What would you say to
those people? In fact, I gave many people this advice. Like, say, let's talk about gambling. When you win money in gambling, that money is haram. So let's say you bought car with that money. You are driving something that's haram. You meet accident in a haram place. You bought a house. The house is haram because you bought it with haram money. You buy food for your family. It's haram. So when they eat haram, you think they become obedient to Almighty Allah? You feeding them haram. You're making them stay in the haram house. You're giving them haram clothes because you're earning haram. So how do you expect your children to become proper Muslims?
So then they come to you and ask you, Mulana Sahib, give me taweez or something. I want peace in my life. You know, I'm very restless. I'm looking for peace. So where the peace will come from?
Definitely. Okay, there's one very important point in this khutbah is, this is something that we need to discuss as well. What Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, all those who listen to me shall pass my words to others, and those to others again, and may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly.
Subhanallah.
So what it comes here is talking about inviting people, spreading the message. And alhamdulillah, in Dawud Islami, we have that happening actively. When we travel on Madni Kafila, we go out and invite people, and many people have reformed just going on Madni Kafila. That means this thing here is done practically by Amir al-Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Aliya. He introduced this. And the first two points that spoke about intention and salah. Now if you look at Nek Amal, the first point is on intention. So imagine a Waliya Kamil, Amir al-Sunnah,
Subhanallah.
Has made these things very important for us.
Allah,
one is intention, because whatever you do without intention, as we mentioned earlier on, you're not going to be accepted in the court of Allah. Then the next point is about performing your salah 5 times a day. If you do everything else in that sermon, but you're not doing these two things, so what benefit are you getting?
Allah.
As you said, many people have it framed in the house, but they're not doing salah. Yet it's mentioned there. Please perform salah. So even here, propagating. And the other is the sermon, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, understand my words which I convey to you. He said, I leave behind two things, Quran and my sunnah. If you follow these, you'll never go astray. Again, alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is a movement of propagating Quran and sunnah. I mean, the simplest thing to do is become part of Dawat Islami, because it forces you to follow Quran and Sunnah. So it's easiest, because what happens is you are alone, not joining anybody, Shaitan will attack you. But if you join an organization like Dawat Islami and get involved in the activities, alhamdulillah, then you'll find whatever you do, because Shaitan obviously will try your best not to make you join. So imagine you join Dawat Islami, all this you're talking about, that you will encourage people, because there's so many things for us to learn our deen. Online classes, And how many people are benefiting? People are becoming alim online. People who don't know how to read Quran. Like even teaching people how to read Quran correctly. All online. How easy the Islam has made it for us to follow all these points. So this is what I would like to discuss.
Qazi Sahab mentioned one of the part of the khutbah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am leaving two things amongst you.
Allah.
One is Quran. Hold them firmly. One is Quran and other one is my sunnah. This is, you know, important part of the khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Holding Quran firmly, what does it mean? Holding Quran firmly means learning Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to recite Holy Quran. Then after learning, reading as well. If a person has learnt, but he doesn't open Holy Quran to recite. Unfortunately, first of all, I will say that people don't know how to recite Holy Quran.
Allah.
And if they learn how to recite Holy Quran, after that they don't read because they don't have time. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that hold Quran firmly. So learn it, read it, and understanding is also the main thing. If you don't understand the message of the Holy Quran, you know, Quran is the message from Almighty Allah which He sent to mankind through Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message of Almighty Allah through Quran. So Quran is a message.
Now this is another thing regarding Quran. The greatest translation in Urdu is by Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Rahmatullah Alayhi. The greatest in Urdu. And how fortunate we are now we have a translation in English done by Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, where he tried to follow the style of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi.
That's the best translation. If anyone wants to understand Quran, so you should read. If you understand Urdu, read Kanzul Iman, translation of Holy Quran. And if you don't know Urdu, then don't worry, English is there. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib has translated the Urdu translation of Kanzul Iman into English, and Alhamdulillah, English translation is available. So understanding Quran is very necessary.
I will just give you one example, how simple it is. I've got a grandson who's 9 years old.
Yeah.
This Ramadan, he finished reading the Quran the fifth time. He reads it daily.
Allah.
And he to show you at that age, and he'll ask his mother questions, what he don't understand. She'll turn around and ask me. And if I don't understand, I go to Mufti Sahib, any experience. So it's improving the knowledge. And for some reason, it's like he got a bug.
Mm-hmm.
He can't, every day they read. And every time they got spare time, they read because they're enjoying it. The point I'm trying to make is the translation that Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi did, he tried to use simple English and as close to Ala Hazrat Urdu translation as possible. It's simple and easy to understand. What the reason I'm saying it, a 9 year old, this is the fifth time in the month of Ramadan I did Khatam al Quran, Khatam for him.
Subhanallah. And all of these things, Dawud Islami has made life so simple and easy, I would say. Alhamdulillah, just a few days ago, I was looking at all the social apps of Dawud Islami on the phone. We have a Hajj and Umrah application. We have a Siratul Jinnah application. We have Fizan-e Hadith application. We have Bahar-e Shariat application. We have, as you mentioned now, with regards to Kanzul Iman, it's also on social media, the Maktabatul Madina. All the books are on Dawud Islami's official website. You can download a soft copy. And Alhamdulillah, as you can see, our Qari Sahib has his tablet, Munawar Sahib has his phone, and the entire library is basically in these things nowadays. Yes, the time for books is slowly, it's reducing. People used to carry books in the past. Today, we carry our entire library in the phone. And this phone can be a very important thing for you. So Dawud Islami has put those beautiful books in this phone. You want Quran, it's in the phone. You want your tarjumah, it's in the phone. You want tafsir, it's in the phone. You want hadith, it's in the phone. So wherever you are, Dawud Islami is giving you these opportunities. Open, read, learn. And the more you learn, the more better you will become. Subhanallah. This is
the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message. Our responsibility is to act upon it. And how will you act upon it? First you will have to learn, then you will have to understand, and then you will act upon it. In olden days it was difficult to learn knowledge. It was difficult to learn Quran. It was difficult to understand Quran, but now Alhamdulillah Dawati Islami has made it very easy for us. Your library is in your phone. If you want to learn Quran, open your phone. Dawat Islami is providing you the service of learning Quran. If you want to learn hadith, Dawat-e-Islam is providing you the service. If you can't learn through the application, you can take admission in Faizan on online academy. Dawat-e-Islami will provide you the teacher according to your language, according to your time, according to your facility. So your responsibility is to act upon it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I have conveyed the message. You must act upon it. It's your responsibility. So when the message has come to us, we actually unfortunately don't have time to know about the message. And we don't have time to understand the message of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, message of Quran. But Dawat-e-Islami has provided you the facility. You must visit Dawat-e-Islami's website, take admission in Faizan Online Academy. And if you want to act upon this part of the khutbah, hold Quran firmly and hold my sunnah firmly, then join Dawat-e-Islami. Then take admission in Faizan Online Academy. Try to participate in the weekly Ijtamaat of Dawat-e-Islami, which take place every Thursday in the masjid of your locality. Likewise, there are many other courses which Dawat-e-Islami has launched for you, for learning Quran, for learning Hadith, for learning Deen, for learning Fiqh. Whatever you want to learn, join Dawat-e-Islami, take admission in Faizan Online Academy and learn all that, and act upon this part of the khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I am leaving two things amongst you. One is Quran and the other thing is my sunnah. Hold them firmly. If you hold them firmly, you will never go astray.
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, mashallah. A very beautiful discussion is taking place, and I myself do not want the discussions like this to come to an end. Such new things we are learning, and I'm also learning some new things. You are also learning some new things. This is indeed the Faizan and the blessings of Islam, the blessings of Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. We'll take one more short break, inshallah. Listen to a few more beautiful pearls, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And when we return, we will, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, be moving towards the conclusion of today's discussion, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, with a few more discussions to take place, inshallah. So be with us, inshallah, after this short break. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Jumu'atu Hajjul Masakeen. That is, Salatul Jumu'ah is the Hajj of Masakeen. That is, the destitute people. In another narration, it is stated, Al-Jumu'atu Hajjul Fuqara. That is, Salatul Jumu'ah is the Hajj of Fuqara, that is, the poor people. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, no doubt there is one Hajj and one Umrah for you every Friday. Therefore, early proceeding for Salatul Jumu'ah is equivalent to Hajj, and waiting for Salatul Asr, having offered Salatul Jumu'ah, is equivalent to Umrah. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, having offered Salatul Jumu'ah, one should remain in the masjid till Salatul Asr, and staying in the masjid till Salatul Maghrib is even more preferable. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. It is said, the one who offers Salatul Jumu'ah in the Jami Masjid stays there afterwards and offers Salatul Asr in the same Jami Masjid, there is a reward of Hajj for him. And the one who stays at Salatul Maghrib and offers Salatul Maghrib in the same masjid, there is a reward for Hajj and Umrah for that person. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mashallah, mashallah, marhaba. Welcome back once again to our wonderful silsila. The beautiful lessons we are learning from this beautiful khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wada. And quite a lot of discussion took place for those that have been watching us. And alhamdulillah, unfortunately, time is also not with us. And the discussion is so lengthy. The khutbah is so vast. So many points can be discussed. But inshallah, Azza wa Jal, Coming towards, I would say, one of the main points in the entire khutbah, which almost every person knows, every person recites it, and it was mentioned previously in the episode as well. And I would like to come towards our Amiruddin Bhai, the main part, or I would say the focal point of the khutbah, which people focus on, is with regards to the superiority of an Ajami over an Arabi, or a black person over a white person. Maybe if you can begin that discussion.
Okay, the sermon itself, I'll quote, that all mankind came from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Bibi Hawa, right? An Arab is not superior to a non-Arab, and a non-Arab is not superior to an Arab. Also, white is not superior to a black, nor a black superior to white, except by piety and good action. So this is very important. If you look in Islam, at that time, at the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Arabs were very proud of the culture. And if you find, like, the blacks were mostly like slaves. Now, if you look at the practical aspect of this, Hazrat Bilal Habshi, he was a slave, and alhamdulillah, Hazrat Abu Siddiq bought him and freed him. And look at his status in Islam. Mm-hmm. And he's loved by all. And he was very close to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam honored him. And he was officially the person that gave azan as well, alhamdulillah. He was very honored, and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him a lot. He didn't look at his color. And many slaves were bought by the Arabs, and even Hazrat Abu Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and were freed. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. And then we look at even Hazrat Salman Farsi was a Persian. And look at what honor he had. Mm-hmm. And originally you find that because of superiority, even the high class Arabs, they refused to even come and listen to beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he was surrounded by slaves. They felt superior. They said, no, we want a separate audience with you. But he rejected them. So he practiced this. He said, if you learn about Islam, you don't ask me to give you a separate audience. So with that, and this is what we find practically in Islam.
In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, Pak, your slaves are your brothers. They are under you. So feed them what you eat and clothe them what you weigh. So once Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sitting with his slave and eating. A person passed and he saw that Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu is eating with his slave. They are eating in a same plate, you know, in a same pot, on a same dastarkhan, on a same dining mat. So he was surprised that how come? Because Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was his master. So he was surprised. So when Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw him surprising, Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him and said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your slaves are your brothers. They are under you. So you must feed them what you eat and you must clothe them what you weigh. So Islam does not give preference to anyone. Islam does not give preference to the master upon the slave. They both are brothers. So we must treat them like our own brothers. So when, what happens that does anyone think of harming his own blood brother? No, he will never think of harming him. Will he create any problem, any obstacle for him? No, he will never try to do that. Because he is his real brother. Likewise, you know, when he will see his brother facing and going through any difficulty, he will be there to stand with him. He will try to remove that difficulty from his brother. Likewise, you know, if he will feel that my brother needs something, he will try to fulfill his need. So when you try to do all that for your own real brother, so your Muslim fellow is your Muslim brother. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly mentioned that. In fact, Quran has mentioned that innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. Muslims are brothers. So when we are brothers of each other, so we must treat them the way we treat our own blood brother. So as I, you know, mentioned in the beginning of the discussion that Muslims' honor is sacred, Muslims' wealth is sacred, Muslims' mal is sacred. This is because we all are brothers, so we can't harm anyone. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, Pak, Muslim is the one from whose hand and from whose tongue other Muslim is safe. So if you creating harm for your own Muslim brother, if you are backbiting against him, if you are tale-telling against him, if you insulting him, if you are swearing at him, these all are against the rulings of Islam, against the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Islam has declared him as your Muslim brother, so you cannot create any harm to him.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. That was the beautiful I would say, closing discussion of this beautiful khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Hajjatul Wada, and the most important lesson from amongst the important lessons which we learn in this beautiful khutbah. At the end, for the last 2 minutes, inshallah azawajal, I would just like to take maybe one statement from our respected guests, maybe a summary or a beautiful advice for our listeners, our viewers of Madani Channel, and something to leave, you know, what from this beautiful episode.
I would like to share an experience. The first kafila that I went for in Dawat Islami ever, there was a Mubalik that came from Pakistan, and there were brothers from Soweto, brothers from another township, and some people from Lanesia, some from Pretoria. And as usual, all the Pretoria people were together, all our black brothers from Soweto were together separately. Then this Mubalik said, okay, now we're going to form halkas. So he put a brother from Soweto, from Atsijwal, all, and I was Amir of one group. And then it came to eating, and we ate in one plate, big plate, the thal. And we're eating, I was eating normal. One brother from Soweto, he had tears in his eyes. He said, I don't believe this. I said, what? He says, no, I used to go with another group. We should go for this kind of things. For us, they should have separate food. For them, they had separate food. He said they should give us ordinary food. And I cannot believe we are eating from the same plate together. And this is true Islam, which Dawat Islami is practiced in the first kafila that I went to.
Subhanallah.
I was so pleased when the guy said, this is true Islam. This was a revert Muslim. He was joining other groups, and they should go for like how we go for kafila. But he said for them, they should have all eat separate together, and the others used to eat better food. They should know.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And imagine, this is, we're saying how practical Dawat Islami is. Alhamdulillah.
The beautiful message from our beloved Amiruddin Bhai Munasab. Your closing comments, inshallah.
I would also say the same thing, that superiority is not based on any color or race. If anyone is superior, he will be superior on the base of taqwa. If he is muttaqi, then he is superior. If he is not muttaqi, then the one who is muttaqi is superior over him. So taqwa, you know, many people, you know, they think that taqwa is only, you know, reading tasbihat, performing salah, keeping fast. That is not only taqwa. Taqwa is fulfilling the rights of Muslims, fulfilling the rights of parents, fulfilling the right of wife, fulfilling the right of husband, fulfilling the right of children, fulfilling the rights of neighbors, fulfilling the rights of all Muslim fellows. If you are doing all that and you don't discriminate, you see them, you know, you see them equally, and you fulfill their rights equally. So now you are muttaqi, and now you are superior. And if not, then take a lesson from the khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has given us a measurement that how must you measure someone's taqwa? Not through race, not through color. Yes, you must measure it through taqwa, through piety.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. There it is, ek hi saf mein khade ho gaye Mahmood o Ayaz, na koi banda raha, na koi banda nawaz. This is the teaching of Islam. This is the teaching which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has propagated, and this is a teaching which needs to be instilled in everyone's hearts, in everyone's minds. We need to infiltrate these teachings in our children as well, and our relatives as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us in these beautiful days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us and accept our dua to act upon whatever we have discussed today. Jazakallah to both our respected personalities, Munasab, Jazakallah, for taking out time from your precious busy schedule. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you abundance of barakah in your ilm, in your amal, so you may continue blessing us, inshallah. Jazakallah, Amiruddin Bhai, for taking our time also from your busy schedule, and you blessed us with beautiful words of wisdom. Amen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in your knowledge, in your amal, and may Allah enable all of us to always act upon the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love, by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you, inshallah, azza wa jal, in future on many other beautiful programs on Madrin Channel. You will see Amiruddin Bhai, you will see myself, you will see Munasab, inshallah, on different programs. Do always stay with Dawat Islami. Keep watching Madrin Channel. Be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. Till we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.